Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Friday, the final day of the week. These are the voyages of the program Unsportsmanlike Conduct. Its ongoing mission, to explore strange new movies, to seek out new bits and new edifications, to boldly go where no radio program has gone before.
Hellcat's Movie Club. It's Hellcat's Movie Club. Hellcat's Movie Club. It's Hellcat's Movie Club.
Occasionally, it's just good to go the old school way. Kent Wolgamott, Lincoln Journal Star. Hello, Kent.
Hello.
How was your week?
Actually, not horrible.
Good.
Which is
awesome.
About as good as you could ask for.
Good.
Well, that's always good, right? I mean, you know, we had that shot of winter for about 2 days, and then right back into the good weather.
Yeah,
again.
Which is nice. Even the wind can't keep us down because at least it's in the 60s.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this week's movie on Amazon Prime released 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Licorice Pizza. And before we get into, this was
Licorice
your pick, Zod. Right?
Yeah. This was
before we get
truly.
Into Josh's quick synopsis of what this is about, this was a movie that did not do well at the box office, but did get a lot of acclaim, including from you, because you said it was one of your top movies of 2021.
Yeah, I looked and... if you eliminate the documentaries from my list, I'm not sure why I put documentaries in my best of the year. Usually I separate them. It would have been number three on the, quote, fictional feature list for the year. Actually had it above Coda, which won the Oscar.
Oh, wow. Which we have also reviewed.
Also reviewed in Movie Club.
Uh-huh. All right.
So, Josh?
Paul Thomas Anderson's, still as of now, latest movie. Someone described it to me last week. I actually think, Ken, it was Josh Otson, producer of The Connor Happer Show, as a hangout movie. And certainly, it is. I mean, there is plot machinations in this one. But and I'm very curious to get into this discussion on the show. A 15-year-old meets a 25-year-old who actually might be 28 years old.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he has the hots for her. And she ends up kind of hanging out with him and his crew. He's a child actor. His name is Gary. And I didn't realize this until I was halfway through the movie. It's Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Oh.
The late Philip Seymour Hoffman, Cooper Hoffman, who plays this character.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I can see that.
Gary, he meets Elena, played by Elena Haim, I believe.
Haim.
So she's like Tony Danza. Every character's got to be Elena.
Bingo.
Well, I mean, if you noticed her other sisters and her dad. Also.
Yeah, it's all her actual family.
Oh, yeah.
And so
they use their actual names.
He pulls a lot of hijinks. Isn't the right word? What's the word that I'm looking
Scams.
For? Scams. Yeah, I mean, he's trying to make money, and he makes money in a variety of ways: waterbeds, opening various things throughout this movie, including a pinball arcade.
He's got his fingers in a lot of pies.
And so they're in California in 1973. And Kent, the thing that stood out to me as I watched it was that throughout this whole movie, I think that Elena's character is kind of asking herself, like, what is it about this guy that I continue to hang out with him? At one point, she asks one of her friends, like, what is it? Do you think I'm weird?
I think that was her sister.
Do you think I'm weird for hanging out with Gary and his friends? And her, and she says, no, I don't think so. But I think that's kind of the push and pull of the entire movie from her perspective. And meanwhile, Gary obviously likes her, and then sometimes he doesn't like her. I very much enjoyed it. The plot or lack thereof at times didn't really bother me, but I thought it was I said this in my review on Letterboxd. Not having cell phones in movies makes movies so much better because people just talk and have to hang out with each other. What a different time in the world, huh, John?
That's very
what an
time.
Old sounding take.
I know. I'm sorry.
So. Two things directly to address what you just said, Josh. Had this been reversed, had it been a 20-some-year-old guy and a 15-year-old girl, it wouldn't have worked.
No.
I mean, it would have just been out blackballed instantly, right?
Yeah, the movie would have probably been titled Statutory Rape. Honestly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there's that. But I think you're kind of right about her perspective on the movie or on the character. And then the last thing that, and this is, I wish it was original to me, but this was Mick LaSalle is the critic that said this. And of course I lost it now. His take on the movie was, I thought, great. And of course, I'm not going to be here. It is watching Licorice Pizza is simultaneously like watching life with all the boring parts cut out and like watching movies with all the phony parts cut out. And I thought that was almost perfect because it's so episodic, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, a lack of a plot. The plot is there. It's just a lot of it's implied, mm-hmm. right? You have these scenes like he tries out for a part, right? He tried out for the part, doesn't get it. But instead of them going back and hammering away, you're too old to be trying to be a child actor, blah, 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 blah. You just see the scene. And then it's on to, I think that's when he saw her walking down the sidewalk with her, with the other child actor, and got all jealous and started making the phone calls. I think that was right before that scene. But the scenes are episodic like that. So it's not the tight linear plot that we're looking for, but there you can figure it out, right? And the other thing that is great about this movie is that it's kind of fact-based, right? Not entirely, but PTA actually saw a woman taking photographs of high school kids and thought, be interesting to make this movie. And he kind of got that gem. But the story of the actor of Hoffman's character is really taken from the real life of a movie producer named Gary Getzman, who was on the Lucille Ball show when he was a little kid, who opened the waterbed store, who opened the pinball arcade. All of those things come out of this guy's life. This guy is a pal of Anderson's and is actually in the movie briefly, as is his kid. And so he takes those two things and puts them together, and Getzman even sold a waterbed to John Peters, the producer, Barbara Streisand's boyfriend, all of that, who is played in a movie by Bradley Cooper. And Anderson got permission from John Peters to use him as a character. And he's a self-absorbed lunatic.
Kent, I heard an interview that PTA did a couple years ago where he gave, like, he was on the phone with him, and he kind of explained, like, here's what I have your character doing. And I guess in the original script, John Peters' character was, like, going to yell at them. And he was like, I wouldn't have done that. And PTA asked him, oh, what would you have done? He goes, I would have hit on the girl. And so that's why they wrote that in the movie, where he's leaning over her and trying to cop a feel, because the real life John Peters was like, that's what I would have done in 1973.
And there was an interview I had watched with Kevin Smith, who he had originally worked with John Peters in the Nick Cage Superman movie that ended up going to Tim Burton. But there were many quotes directly lifted from just this story that he had had with Peters that ended up being used by Bradley Cooper in the movie. Like, he was just word for word kind of crazy.
Exactly, word for word. And my understanding is that Peters, that was his only demand to use him as a character, was you have to use my exact lines.
Interesting.
Well, there's enough stories floating around, I'm sure, to do that.
Those elements that you just described, Kent, help me appreciate it a little bit more, because one of the things that was a struggle for me was I just didn't find the characters relatable, because how many 15-year-olds are opening waterbed stores and then pinball arcades? So it's hard for me to kind of get into all that. It's like, why is this guy, where's this guy getting the money from? What is he, how is this happening? And so knowing that at least this came from someone else's loosely based on a real story helps just a little bit. I think part of my problem was I kind of convinced myself that, not that this was going to be American Graffiti, but that it was going to be a period piece where it was, you know, when you talk about coming of age, you think of American Pie, you think of American Graffiti.
Dazed and Confused.
You think of all these different movies that have been coming of age movies. And unlike some of those where there's always a plot, right? This one didn't quite have, or at least not as overtly.
I mean, the plot is essentially, will they get together?
Yes, yes. But it just seemed like some of the things that they were involved in just seemed a little too out there for me. It was just like, wait a minute, how is this even working? So I didn't think it was a bad movie. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would, because it almost seemed way too far-fetched.
And I will say, as someone who lived through that era, it rings just the opposite.
Yeah.
For me. And if you want to make a connection to that previous movies, watch this movie and watch Dazed and Confused. That is, because Dazed and Confused is essentially set at the exact same time. So.
One of the things, Kent, that I wanted to point out was the music in this, and specifically, I thought the needle drop for Let Me Roll It by Paul McCartney and the Wings was one of the better needle drops that I can remember seeing in a movie in a while, because that is the scene after the motorcycle. What would you call that? Would you call that a motorcycle when he runs? I guess
it's a motorcycle.
Okay. Yeah. And then they're on the waterbed.
It's a very little motorcycle.
I figured that the ones that go wee wee.
Mini bike.
Yeah, sure.
Mini bike.
But I thought that
pocket
was
pocket rocket.
I've been listening to that song.
Since
it was, Nick. I finished my run on Sunday, and I was like, I'm gonna listen to that song on the way.
The music was really good.
Yeah, the music was really good.
That song was really good.
I did enjoy, because it wasn't all just like the poppy hits of the period. It was some of the a little bit of the deeper cuts.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That was precisely, it wasn't the obvious.
Yeah.
Right. It was, you know, I mean, and there's like, you guys wouldn't have noticed this probably, but when he's getting hamburgers with his mom at the drive-in, there's a DJ that's introing a Todd Rundgren song, and that's right when Todd hit, right? But then when you hear it, it's not Bang on the Drum All Day.
Yeah.
Right? Not Rundgren's big hit. It's a different song.
Yes.
I also, Kent, I liked going to the main two characters in this movie. Cooper Hoffman looks like a 15-year-old. Pimples, bad skin. And I have, you know, heard a lot of conversation about Elena in general now in just a few podcasts over the last week. She has a very distinctive look.
Yeah.
You know, not a traditional leading actress in a movie like this. And so you can see why she would be quite striking, but also maybe why she would kind of fall into this world where she's hanging out with a bunch of 15-year-olds too. And so I thought that I just liked the look of the characters, that I didn't feel like I was watching a made-up version of 1973.
The casting was great. They were real people.
Yeah.
Real freckles, real blemishes, real teeth.
This was their first movies is just insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she hasn't done anything since, because she kind of has a little rock band there. Pop rock or whatever you want to call them, band.
Great band.
Do you like them?
Oh, yeah.
Great, great band.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was like an Instagram person, and Riss was like, no, she's in a band. I said,
ask your wife. She 100%
I thought she was an Instagram person. I don't know.
And he, I think, has been in one subsequent movie, or is going to be in one that's going to be released shortly, so... But that's it. But this was their first movies, and I think that helps the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Because once again,
it feels more real.
It's more real, and you don't identify with the actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not, this is a Kirsten Stewart movie or whatever. I'm trying to pick somebody she's too old for that now, but just pick, some young actress and put her in that role. And all of a sudden it becomes a movie about her. Here you don't have that. This makes it, as Nick's saying, more real. I think that's why it's so good.
I love their dad so much, by the way. He's so
good.
Do
you have to, because I'm just, again, going through my mental Rolodex, is it almost a necessity when you do one of these types of coming-of-age films that the main characters they're not well-known, right? You're not getting well-known child actors playing these parts. I mean, I think back to American Pie. Most of that group, who are now very famous today, but for most of that group, that was one of their first movies. And there wasn't really like a, outside of...
Dazed and Confused did the same thing.
Dazed and Confused, yeah, because Matthew McConaughey hadn't hit it big yet.
The kid who was in Bones.
Nobody in Dazed and Confused were even known.
Yeah, the only one...
Austin actors.
Yeah, the only one that's different is American Graffiti, because everyone knew who Ron Howard was.
Right.
But they hadn't seen him as grown Ron Howard, right?
Mm-hmm.
They only remembered little Opie Taylor from the Andy Griffith Show. So it's almost a necessity, because if it's more known, I think it's harder for people to buy into it. And so,
because you don't go in with any baggage.
And so using a Bradley Cooper in the role that he had, using a Sean Penn in a role that he had, is perfect.
That Sean Penn role is modeled on the actor William Holden, who apparently must have been kind of a jerk.
I guess so. It was a little jarring to just see him there. I did not bother to look at the wiki before I watched this. And then he's like, oh God, it's Sean Penn.
Mm-hmm. How do we feel about the John C. Reilly cameo? Speaking of cameos.
Okay, Nick, that was, I'm hearing his voice, because John C. Reilly was the,
Munster, Eddie Munster.
Yes. Yeah. And so I'm like, who the hell is that? I know the voice. I rewind it. And then we're watching on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about Amazon that I wish every streaming service did was the X-ray
thing,
but he's not on the X-ray thing. So I'm like, all right, I pause the movie, I open up IMDb, and I just scroll, and I'm trying to figure out, who is this? And then finally I saw John C. Reilly, and I was like, oh!
I've watched Step Brothers and Talladega Nights so much growing up that it's just in my head. I know his voice.
I got pissed that I couldn't figure it out without having to scroll through a bunch of stuff figuring out who it was.
I love when Bradley Cooper just does a cameo in a movie and you don't realize he's going to be in the movie.
He seemed like he had a lot of fun playing that.
Well,
playing
even in Dungeons and Dragons, he just his cameo in that movie. He just shows up.
You remember, John?
I do.
The great movie.
That led to one of my favorite little scenes in the movie, but the driving the moving truck.
My God.
That was tight. That was a badass scene. And because the whole time I'm like starting to get really tense. Like, what's going to happen at the end of this?
That scene did a really good job of really showing the age gap between the characters, too.
Yeah, because they were all like.
It's like us as adults in that situation after that, we're going to be like, holy S, we survived. And then the guys were just like, oh, hell that was sick.
Oh, and then we were talking about the Elena character earlier and like, why the hell am I hanging out with these kids? The best representation of that, of course, was when they needed the gas.
Uh-huh.
And the kids are treating the gas can and all of the things very sexually.
They sure are.
And I was just looking at her like, man, you made a huge mistake hanging out with these yahoos, and they're just having a great time.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, children. That's,
and what we're really getting at here is that these scenes, whether it has the tight plot or not, are exactly what LaSalle said. This is like watching real life, but just the good parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the memorable stories.
And the best part of memories
is making them. Yeah.
I will say, I wish I could take credit for this because this helped me see the movie in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason these characters work so well together is because they're trying to do the opposite of each other. The kid, the 15-year-old, he's trying to grow up and be an adult.
100%.
Do all these, like, he goes to this bar. He's a regular at this bar. He tries to have all these businesses. And Elena seems like she's trying to chase youth.
Trying to stay young.
Trying to stay young and do all these things. And it's just, they kind of meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't like either of these characters.
Interesting.
I think it's...
Which ones?
A decent... The main two.
Okay.
I think it's a decent story, Gary and Elena. But I think they're not good people. You know, it's like Always Sunny. It's like you're watching it, you enjoy it, but you know they're not good
people. He's certainly a bit of a huckster.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good for each other.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Here's the question. What's... Not to give away the end of the movie, but it's like, think about what happens the next day.
Right.
You know, it's not going
to
end well.
They're not good for each other. I think they both have their own things they clearly need to work on.
Yeah.
As people.
Yeah. Well, again, she might be, because there's a scene in the movie. Was it the scene with Bradley Cooper where she's asked her age and she slips and says 28?
Uh-huh.
And then she corrects herself and says 25.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh my gosh, are you 13 years older than this kid?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not great.
It's a tough look.
It is. It's a very tough look.
You're right on it on the ending, right? The ending doesn't need to be, you know what's going to come.
Yeah.
They don't have to show you.
Correct.
I think it would have been better if they didn't end up together.
Yeah.
If they just would have been like, all right, we're going to go our separate ways.
I did like the ending. I thought the ending was really good. Yeah. But even though I don't care about the next day, because the next day, you know, or 2 months later or 2 weeks later.
I mean, I thought it was a really sweet ending, but I think I would have liked the movie better if it just would have been, okay, we both need to act our ages.
I think it gives you a little bit of both. You realize, hey, these two have, you know, finally found each other, but you also know that it's probably not going to last, you know?
Exactly.
and so it
first
leaves,
love usually
it
doesn't.
It leaves it open to whatever interpretation you want.
Also, I don't like that it feels like the only reason Elena got involved in politics was because she was just attracted to the politician.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about Benny Safdie being in the movie.
And she finds out the politician we played is actually a real guy.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Real politician that interestingly... was closeted and has since come out and
he's still alive.
I really like that interaction between Alana and his boyfriend.
That scene was great.
It was such a good
when you
scene.
Realize yeah. what's going on yeah. and why everyone is at that table. That was a good scene.
I assume the guy wearing sorry Kent.
Go ahead.
I assume the guy that was just kind of hanging outside the office was a reporter or somebody trying to get dirt.
I thought that he was like an ex-boyfriend or a fling.
Like
with the benefit of hindsight, that's what I thought that character was. But that you might be onto something, Nick. Someone trying to get dirt on him.
Well, that is Licorice Pizza. You can find it on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't a huge fan?
Not a huge fan. It was fine, but I wasn't a huge fan.
Yeah,
I didn't like it enough to want to watch it again or keep watching it.
I think I'd watch it again.
It was
Ken, you watched it now for the second time. What did you think watching it again?
Third time, maybe fourth time.
Oh wow, okay, never mind.
I liked it enough to where it kept me compelled.
I really liked this movie, and part of the reason, I mean, I pretty much really liked everything that PTA does, right? I mean, I can't think of I don't think he's made a bad movie, and this one is different in a sense for him because it is kind of sweet and it is kind of light. And it is, I mean, this is a guy that made There Will Be Blood,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
We're not talking about a guy that generally makes this kind of movie. And I thought there's something about it that just really hit with me that what I hadn't watched it for probably a year. And I liked it as much I guess it'll be either the third or fourth time. I guess this is the fourth time I've seen it. And it didn't play too long, even having seen it that many times. Hmm. And it's what, 2 hours and 25 minutes, something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. It was compelling enough to keep me watching, but I don't think I'll watch it again.
I think I'll stumble upon it again.
All right. Well, Nick, it is your turn.
Yep, and as we all know, John won't be here next week.
He will not.
He's going to abandon us.
I will be in Philly next week.
This movie is one I've been meaning to watch for the last couple years, I guess, and I just haven't, and it's finally on Netflix.
Okay.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh, okay. I have seen that movie. Nice.
I've been meaning to watch it. I just haven't.
All right. It won the Oscar last year, John.
Yeah, my number one movie of 2022?
2022. Right. Nick, do you know anything about this movie?
I know nothing. And I've intentionally, because I like to do this if I know I want to watch or interact with something, I just avoid everything that I possibly can about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to go in blind.
And once again, this will be one that probably be I don't know how many times I've watched this. Maybe not the whole thing, but I've watched it off and on because I just think it's a fascinating movie.
Yes, it definitely is.
I'm interested.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once on Netflix.
Yes.
Before we break, did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Oh, tell me more.
They are rebooting Naked Gun.
Oh. Did we watch that for Movie Club?
We did Airplane, didn't we?
Mm.
I think we did Airplane.
Yes.
This is being...
We did Airplane.
Yeah, this is being remade, and I believe, I thought I read somewhere, is Seth MacFarlane involved in this?
Hmm.
Maybe he's not.
I'm definitely out.
Yeah. I could see it, though.
But apparently they've gotten Liam Neeson to star as Frank Drebin.
Oh.
See, I don't think movies like this can be remade.
How come?
No.
Well,
no, and Leslie Nielsen, no, you're never going to match him.
I mean,
what a guy.
It doesn't need to be remade. If you want to make a comedy, make a comedy, but don't rip off another deal. I don't know if the humor will be as appreciated as much today.
Well, we did watch Fletch, and that was way different than, and I know that wasn't a remake, it was a sequel.
Surely the humor's going to be adjusted. It's going to be different. It won't be the same humor.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Because this is... That was what, late 80s?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the same humor as Airplane, as you know.
It's a different brand of humor compared to.
Surely you can't be serious.
Yeah, the Zucker brothers.
I love that humor.
Yeah, not to head down too weird a path, but when that movie came out, Leslie Nielsen came to Lincoln. They did a college promotional tour for it, and it had one of its premieres or whatever at the Stewart Theater, which is now long gone.
Right.
And I spent most of the day hanging out with Leslie Nielsen. That man was hilarious.
Jealous. And then, his whole career changed because, he was a serious actor and then he got the Airplane role and then pretty soon he just morphed into this, different person. Mm. But
I
don't know. If you want to make a comedy, make a comedy, but you don't have to reboot something that, is a period of its time.
And you'll never match that.
Never.
The humor, it's not going to work. Like even the baseball game stuff, it's not going to work now.
Yeah, yeah. Just come up with something original.
Mm.
That's all.
Tough look for Seth MacFarlane, that goober.
If only he ever came up with something original.
No, he didn't. He did. Hey, remember that one time we did that one thing? Family Guy. Stupid show.
All right. Well, Everything Everywhere All at Once next week. Kent, have a great weekend. Thanks.
Well, you have a lovely time. When are you going to Philly?
Not till next week. It's
next
just
week.
Just for one game, and then we're back. And then it's New York.
He's
and then
abandoning
it's the NCAA
us.
Tournament.
Yeah, so Kent, say whatever you want to say to John because you won't see him till April.
Yeah, call him stupid.
Nice.
Won't see him till April, he hopes.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we'd be back earlier. You never
know. Okay, maybe you'll see him the second weekend when I'm in sunny Las Vegas.
Oh, me too, Josh. I'll also be there.
Poor John sitting here in the studio.
I'm fine. I'll be fine.
That reminds me, sign up today to 1620 the email. You can enter to get to Vegas.
Nice, Nick.
Kent, have a great weekend.
See ya.
Bye, Kent.
Welcome out of the Lincoln Journal Star. Yes, you can sign up now. Go to subscribe today.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up now so that you can get our emails, and you can sign up for the big trip to Vegas for the second weekend of the college basketball playoff.
Hell yes.
Thank you, Circa Sports.
With great second prizes as well, including watch parties.
For the first 2 days of the college basketball playoff.
Correct.
Hey, when we come back, can we talk about the new college football rules before we talk to Sam McEwen? Because there's some interesting, weird crap in here.
All right. 1620 The Zone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.